In the mid-50s, two men knocked over a kerosene stove during a fight at a concert. After fleeing the blaze, the guitar player realized he left his beloved Gibson inside. B.B. King then ran in and saved it. He later learned that the fight was over a woman named Lucille, and ever since, his guitars have borne that name. You can find Lucille at the Hard Rock in Hollywood, Florida. Thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history can be found at Hard Rock cafes, casinos, and hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.
Little Stevens Underground Garage's coolest conversations, presented by Hard Rock Cafe, hosted by the Mighty Manfred.
This is the Mighty Manfred and Little Stevens Underground Garage, and it's time for your coolest conversations podcast presented by Hard Rock. Thanks for listening, and please remember to follow, subscribe, rate, and review. This time around, I'm joined by Louis Cabezas, the guitarist in the Dolly Rots, Wicked Cool Records artist that features our very own Kelly Ogden as lead vocalist and bass player. Well, the pair helped ring out the old year and in the new with their version of the holiday standard Auld Lang Syne, which was our final 2023 Coolest Song of the World. We'll hear a bit of it now, followed by my interview with Louis on your Coolest Conversations podcast, presented by Hard Rock in Little Steven's Underground Garage.
Should old acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind? Should old acquaintance be forgot and the days of Auld Lang Syne?
Manfred with you for our final Coolest Conversations of 2023. And here at the year's end, it's appropriate that our final Coolest Song of the World is a version and a rousing one of that, of Auld Lang Syne. It's the latest digital single from the Dolly Rots and available from Wicked Cool Records. And joining me from the band is our guitar player, Louis Cabezas. Hi, Louis, how are you?
Hey, I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Well, in case anyone in satellite radio listening land doesn't know, you're married to Kelly Ogden, a fellow DJ here in the Underground Garage, and you're both proud parents of two children. Now, what are their ages?
They just turned 7 and 10. So
7 and 10, remind me. Okay, 7 and 10.
Yeah.
So are they pros with the whole Santa Lap thing? Because we just had Christmas. Are they pros with the Santa Lap thing, or are they not into that now?
We haven't tried it yet. You know, we, like, up to this point, it's been like, let's do the Santa thing at the mall every year or whatever. But they're getting older. I think, like, now at this point, I can show them Gremlins and other creepy Christmas movies. We're kind of in that phase. We're not so much in the Santa thing. I mean, they still believe in Santa, of course, because Santa is real. But yeah, I don't know about the lap. Might be time to phase out the lap.
Well, do you remember any Santa lap encounters from when you were, like, a little kid? Was that just, like, a terrifying thing or not?
Not for me. I was never really intimidated by Santa. The elves kind of creeped me out. That's kind of a more, I feel like that's kind of a more visceral creep out than Santa himself, you know.
Well, did you or Kelly ever sit on Santa's lap as an adult?
Maybe at a industry Christmas party when I've had a few too many. That may have happened. I don't remember, because that's the only way that would have happened.
Well, what was the, like, you know, we've been through Christmas just recently. What was a typical Christmas growing up in the Cabezas household? Like, what was that like when you were a kid?
It was pretty traditional. You know, my parents, we're actually from Ecuador. And so I was born in Ecuador and moved here to the US when I was two. And so we kind of had Ecuadorian Christmas, which isn't very different from American Christmas. And so, yeah, there's Santa, there's Feliz Navidad, and that's about the only difference. You listen to Feliz Navidad in addition to the rest of the, Christmas sort of normal stuff. Yeah.
So stockings hung by the chimney with care, that's all part of the Ecuadorian thing.
Yeah, but they don't stuff the stockings. The stockings are just decorative stockings. Kelly's family did the put things in the stockings deal. I think they were more traditional in that sense.
Well,
So, yeah.
how does like Christmas morning, how did Christmas morning now with you and Kelly's household compare to what to which like you grew up with? So you guys stock have the stocking stuffed or not?
Yeah, because Kelly's kind of like she's the boss, she's the matriarch. And so she's in charge of the Christmas sort of like setup. I mean, if it was just me, it'd be like more like bachelor style, there'd be like a Charlie Brown Christmas tree. But yeah, no, Kelly does it up. She's got like the garland and the wreaths and the lights and all the cute stuff, and she even like she like built the fireplace to work correctly so that we can have a real fireplace. Like she did the masonry on the fire. I mean, dude, she's got it locked down.
So, real tree or an artificial tree?
We did a real tree for many years, and then one day a few years ago, we were walking through Target or something, and there was a really, really nice fake tree, like a display model for sale. And we were like, let's go for the $400 tree that's only 50 bucks. So yeah, we've got like a super nice fake tree that's slowly starting to, they start to like sort of like wilt, even though they're not real, that like
Wow.
the plastic starts to break and whatever. So but yeah, we got a pretty good looking tree. It's got the star and all the kids like ornaments that they made over the years. And so yeah, it's a nice cozy atmosphere.
Well, I know you guys as the Dollar Rods, you started releasing, you guys started in Florida, you move out to the West Coast and you started releasing records at this as the Dollar Rods when you're living in California. But you guys have since returned to Florida, where you're both from, and we know your families are from there. So was this Christmas time? Do you have like a big extended family Christmas?
Yeah, our whole family's down here, and so we're really lucky because we're raising the kids here, because it'd be impossible to raise the kids in LA, to be perfectly honest. We love LA. But yeah, all our family's from here. We grew up around here. We get I think the only thing, when you live near family, you have to do like three different Christmases, four different Christmases. So a lot of it is like scheduling where we're gonna be on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, and just getting to all the things. But yeah, it's really good. We get lots of family time, and there are lots of, we have the traditional sort of like turkey and open the presents the night before, and it's pretty Norman Rockwell, man.
Oh, so you do the thing where you like my mom was German, and I know in Germany it's Christmas Eve is when the gift exchange happens. So do you do that on Christmas Eve or do you do that on Christmas Day?
Oh, it's Christmas Day for sure, but you get one on Christmas Eve. You get to pick one, and it can't be the biggest one. It's like
Right.
the biggest one, unless your parents try to like fool you and put this a medium present in a giant box.
Did your
Which,
parents ever try and fool you?
no, my parents were, I don't know, they did fool me once, actually. We kind of, I remember one year we were moving to Florida. My dad got transferred. I grew up in Texas. We were moving to Florida. If we hadn't moved to Florida, I wouldn't have met Kelly. So thank God they moved to Florida. But we were like in between houses. We were like his job had us staying at a hotel, and it happened to be Christmas. We were Christmas at a hotel, like on the second floor. And my parents wanted me and my brother desperately to understand that Santa was coming that night. And so they set up like this system where we were asleep in the hotel room. It was like a suite, right? We were asleep
Right.
in the front room, and they like actually like tied like sheets together to create a pulley system to like pull the presents up on into the second story of the hotel, so that there'd be presents waiting for us and this and make us think that Santa had come that night. I mean, that was
Wow,
yeah,
that
that
is
was
so cool.
next level parenting right there.
Yeah, way cool. What
Yeah.
did what was there that like you and Kelly, you two exchange gifts or not?
Oh yeah. We exchange gifts and we allow each other to give each other like something nice. So I'm always like, what do I get her? What do I get her? And she drops hints. She's really good about that. Like she's got her Amazon wish list and all that.
We thinking back to like you mentioned your parents and the great extent they went to and sort of orchestrating that Christmas in the hotel. Was there any gift as a child that you really, really wanted and but you didn't get, but it's still you still remember that? Was there anything you didn't get that you still remember that you really wish you'd had gotten?
I kind of always like my parent, they weren't very, I mean, they weren't very ostentatious. I mean, you kind of remember your like nostalgic toys from when you were a kid. You know, if I had to put it out there, it'd be like, I wish I had gotten an Optimus Prime die-cast metal transformer. You know, it's like you grow up with these things that you really love. And then eventually I found one at a thrift store and I bought it. And so I made it up to myself. You know, but now we always I never really like wanted a lot of stuff, you know. I think like mu I got a guitar 1 year and that was like the biggest deal to me. Of course I wanted an electric guitar, but my parents got me an acoustic, and at the time I was like, no man, I want to rock. But I still have that acoustic and I still write on it, and that was probably the best gift I ever got.
How old were you when you got the guitar?
I was 14, so I mean, in the grand scheme of things, it was kind of early, but I guess it could have been earlier. I wish I had started playing earlier, to be honest.
And when do you what was the reason you wanted the guitar?
Because I wanted to play rock and roll like Kurt Cobain. I don't know, you know, I think I had achieved that like you know, teenage like I want to, you know, emulate my rock and roll hero, you know, phase. You kind of get to that eventually. You know, you grew out of your like pop radio little kid thing and you want to, I don't know.
Want to
I
rock.
you just kind of get to that point where you want to piss everyone off.
Well, I know you've recorded a lot with producer John Fields and his studios in Minneapolis, and you've done those sessions in winter at least more than once. They got tons and tons of snow, right, in the winter. Have you ever actually had a white Christmas?
One time, when my dad in the 70s, because he was from Ecuador, you know, he stayed with a family in Texas as an exchange student, and so they kind of became my grandparents when we moved to the States. And they had a couple of other sons, and one of them lived in Cincinnati. So 1 year we went up to Cincinnati for Christmas, and it was actually a white Christmas because and it was sweet. It was like my grandpa made like a Rudolph out of like logs from the yard. Like a blinking red nose is his, you know. And it was really sweet. But that's really the only one because you know, me and Kelly, we've always lived in the land of palm trees and you know,
Various coasts, but always palm trees.
Yeah, always on a west coast, either the west coast of Florida or California. And yeah, it's very rare for us to get it.
Well, so done a lot of stuff with John Fields. I mentioned the producer, but now was he involved at all on your coolest song in the world this week, "Auld Lang Syne," your version of "Auld Lang Syne"?
We did that one on our own, to be honest. Because we, as so happens, see, when you're in a band and you think about doing Christmas songs, a lot of times it's a good idea to cut it, you know, in the summer or fall, because then it's actually done ahead of time and, you know, you kind of got it in the bag. But the thing with Christmas songs is, how do you get in the mood for Christmas unless it's actually closer to Christmas time? And so we end up recording all of our Christmas stuff like right at the very last minute. And I think we had literally like 2 days to turn it in. You know, I said, okay, for a Christmas song, in order to, you know, maybe, you know, get it to Steven or to see if maybe it could you know, be on the Underground Garage. Like, what's the deadline? Oh, you got 2 days. So yeah, we just did it really fast. And sometimes when you do it fast and you don't overthink it, it's better.
Right.
So we felt good about it. We just kind of had fun with it. You know, we let the kids do a little bit of background vocals. We had some friends over to do some, you know, gang vocals and like party noises. And yeah, it was just a lot of fun.
Well, you know, you've got a number of Christmas songs overall. Let's see. And there's also Let's Turkey Trot, kind of a Thanksgiving song, you know.
Yeah.
Now Auld Lang Syne. Any more holiday tunes percolating? Maybe like an Arbor Day song or something, somewhere in the back burner?
Yeah. You know, it's always good to have like a holiday song in your back pocket.
Yeah.
You know, we should have done Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree because it went to number one this year. It would have been the year to do it.
Yeah.
But we have a Valentine's Day song. We've got we did like Monster Mash, you know, it's a Halloween.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Well, you need to, there should be an album, Holidays with the Dolly Rots. And it's not just,
I think you just came up with a winning concept, Manfred.
I'm here for you, Lewis. I'm here for you every day.
Maybe we do a 4th of July song. Arbor Day, a tree song. Yeah, I like that.
Good. Well, all right. So like today's the 29th. We're coming up on, just the whole 2023 thing is so passe. New Year, you're doing Auld Lang Syne. So what, any New Year's resolutions?
You know, I think that we just want to be able to, you know, support our newest record as much as possible this year. So we're going to head out on the road. We already have a bunch of dates booked. We're doing, we've got dates booked in January. We're doing Florida with our friends Bowling for Soup and Lit, mm-hmm. Florida and New Orleans. And then we have dates in March. We're doing headline dates in the Midwest, and then we'll be announcing summer dates pretty soon.
We're talking about support of the, Night Owls album.
Yep. Yep. So we put out, our record Night Owls came out last October, it's out there, like it's doing great, people love it, and we just plan to play a bunch of the new songs live, and so we just want to be able to get out there and play the stuff and kind of let people see what it's like live.
Cool. Now we're going to take a listen in a moment to your holiday song, The Dolly Rots Do Christmas. It's a medley that includes, let's see, Santa Claus Is Coming to Town, Silent Night, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, Frosty the Snowman, We Wish You a Merry Christmas. I think I got them all in there. Right. So, and it's cool the way you got them all together. What, you know, why those particular ones? What's so special, or is there anything really special about each of those carols that you chose to include?
You know, we just wanted to, We had like a list, you know, there's like the list of the like traditional Christmas songs, and we just were going for like a flow, you know. It's like you try to put together, you know, it's kind of like it, putting together like a American Idiot ish, like for like No Effects the Decline or something like that, you know, just kind of a verse chorus of the best sort of ones that you can, or the ones that speak to you most, the ones that you care about most from like when you were like a little kid.
Yeah.
And so those are the ones that me and Kelly kind of like both agreed on. And yeah, just, we just wanted it to rock. And I listened to that song the other day, 'cause I was putting together, a revamp of our Christmas CD.
Uh-huh.
We reissued it with like 4 new tracks from the last few years. And I was like, oh my gosh, this actually works. Number one, I forgot. And number two, our little boy River, and he was like 3 years old. And at the end, when he speaks, it totally kills us now because he sounds like such a baby.
Oh.
Yeah, it's just, yeah, it's cool.
Well, Lewis, best wishes to you and all the Dolly Rots for 2024. And thanks for speaking with me today on our Coolest Conversations.
Thanks a ton, Manfred. It's always fun to talk to you. And yeah, we're super, super stoked about having another Coolest song. It really means a lot to us.
Well, now we're going to take a listen to how the Dolly Rots Do Christmas in Little Steven's Underground Garage.
just heard some of how the Dollarots do Christmas in Little Steven's Underground Garage. I'm the Mighty Manfred, and thanks again to the band's Luis Cabezas for speaking with me today. Thanks also to Sammy Semenza for producing our podcast. Back in 1959, Ronnie and the Savoys recorded Domino, a song written and sung by the late Steve Popovich, their bass player. He was a close friend of Stevie Van Zandt, and he went on to guide the careers of artists like Cheap Trick, Bob Dylan, Bruce Springsteen, Southside Johnny, and the Asbury Jukes, and others. That song is a single now out on Wicked Cool Records, and we'll find out all about it and the band when the group's namesake, Ron Sapancic, joins me for our next Coolest Conversations podcast presented by Hard Rock in Little Steven's Underground Garage.
Buddy, you're a boy. Make a big noise playing in the street. I'm gonna be a big man someday. You got mud on your face, you big disgrace. Kicking your can all over the place.
Some things are better when they rock. The Seminole Hard Rock Hotels and Casinos rock around the clock with nonstop casino action, rooms fit for the king, pools, spas, restaurants, and clubs for every taste and temptation. Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Tampa or Hollywood, Florida. We will rock you.